Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here tonight. City Council meeting of March 21st, 2023. Calling to order here at City Hall. Welcome all. Would the clerk please confirm the roll?
All council members are present, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. That's great to see. Mr. Rosen, with you being here tonight, would you lead us in?
Be glad.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we move on to the consent agenda, I understand that we have a proposed change to the agenda. Mr. Gaha?
Yes, there's been some more information that's come to light over the last couple of hours. So I'd like to pull motion page 23-036, resolution adopting the procurement policy and procedures, and AB 23-037, ordinance revealing NBMC 3.0 purchasing to the next finance meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for all in the audience and at the table. That is main agenda items 10 and 11. Motion and second. Any further comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Those two motions are removed, or excuse me, those two agenda items are removed from tonight's agenda. With that, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Have a second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and it is unanimous. Moving on, we are to citizen comments. If you are a member of the public, either here in chambers or online, and wish to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda, which would now include the two we've removed, we would be glad to hear from you. I'll start here in chambers. You would just come to the podium. If you're online, please indicate in the chat box, and I'll call upon you. You'll get up to 3 minutes to speak, starting with your name and address for the record. Looking at the audience, I see one person moving.
Didn't sign up for public comment. All right, so good evening, Mayor McFarland, Council, and staff. For the record, I'm Wendy Baker, Community Relations Manager for Republic Services, located in Bellevue. I'm here tonight to reaffirm Republic Services' ongoing commitment to the City of North Bend. As I've mentioned at public comment over the last 5 months, in the emails I sent to you in the last week, my team is surprised by the agenda bill before you. There has been no public meeting nor community engagement thus far in the RFP process that directed staff to negotiate with us or anyone else since last November's meeting, where staff recommended Republic Services to you as the highest ranking least expensive proposer. There are 3 points I'd like to make to reiterate tonight. First, since the start of this process, Republic Services has been and continues to welcome the opportunity to negotiate a renewed contract with North Bend that includes customer credits and any other items you want in a new agreement. We know January 2022 was inconvenient and challenging for North Bend residents and had started the process to remedy that going forward. While we started in that direction, staff changed, meetings were canceled, and there was never clear direction by council to do so. Second, regarding the very critical math and customer bills at hand, let's be clear. By changing the timeline of the contract from 10 years to 12 to give the higher cost proposer an advantage to lower rates, it does not give North Bend ratepayers the actual benefit of lower rates. If Republic Services were allowed a 12-year contract option to depreciate and amortize equipment and trucks, our proposed lower rates would be lower still. You're comparing a 10-year rate model to a 12-year rate model and misrepresents the accounting differences in operations modeling over time in the two proposals. A 2-year difference is an unfair, inconsistent cost comparison for your constituents who ultimately pay the bill and are struggling with significant economic and inflationary headwinds in these challenging days. Third, as the incumbent partner who has been proudly serving North Bend for over 3 decades, Republic Services has the team and tools in place to provide uninterrupted, excellent service going forward. Our drivers know your streets, neighbors, and businesses. Our community outreach and customer care staff have the digital and in-person tools in place to keep effectively answering customer questions and conducting recycling education programs with North Bend residents and businesses. And finally, when we turn to the priority of sustainability and climate action, Republic Services' commitment to zero waste programs are second to none. We have nationally recognized programs in fleet electrification, recycling diversion from landfills, and are leading the industry with our Plastic Circularity Polymer Center opening in Vegas this spring. Here at home, our local cities have the highest recycling rates in Kane County. So on behalf of my Republic Services drivers, call center staff, billing clerks, recycling outreach coordinators, operations managers, maintenance technicians, and management, please know we are proud of our 30 years of service to North Bend and stand ready and absolutely willing to work with your team on a renewed service agreement. We have the time. Let's do it for the constituents. Thank you for your time.
Well timed. Anyone else here in chambers?
Good evening, Steve Brum with Recology. I'm the regional vice president for the company for the Pacific Northwest, and my office is at 801 South Hidalgo Street in Seattle. So, Mayor McFarland, councilors, good evening on behalf of Recology's 3,700 employee owners and the 400 plus employee owners we have here in the King County area. I want to thank you all, as well as city staff, for inviting us to be here tonight. We're honored that the city will be considering Recology for the opportunity to serve the city's residents and businesses for the next 12 years with the collection of management of the city's recyclables, compostables, and solid waste. It's also our honor to share with the city in our vision for a world without waste. We appreciate that the city sees the quality of service that Recology brings to the municipalities that we serve. What we will bring to the city of North Bend is the best value in our industry in the Puget Sound region. The cities of Seattle and Issaquah, as well as nine other cities in the King County region, already are recognizing this value with long-term contracts with Recology. We also are the experts in this region for seamless contract transitions. In the past 15 years, Recology has implemented 15 successful city contract transitions, and we're also working on one currently with the city of Tukwila. Recology, we are a 100% employee-owned company. The ownership culture that we have drives our vision for a world without waste and a commitment to quality in our communities that is second to none. Being employee-owned enables us to make long-term decisions beneficial to us all. We do not have to be chasing quarterly earnings expectations from Wall Street. Every driver, customer service rep, and mechanic has a share and ownership stake in the company. Recology's profits are reinvested back into our communities where we live, work, and play. We create opportunities for ownership wealth in a company for segments of the population who do not normally see these opportunities. No other company in the waste and recycling industry can say these things. This does make us a different kind of partner. Our relationships with our cities are not something we commoditize. Your residents are not just numbers on a spreadsheet. We immerse ourselves in our cities in order to do what is best for the residents and the community. We collaborate with our municipal partners to go above and beyond what we're required to do. Maple Valley, SeaTac, and Burien each have examples of where we've partnered with them to do something aside from the contract that's innovative and helps us to either create a better program or fix missteps that we've had in order to earn the satisfaction of every customer. Just because the contract does not say we don't have to do something doesn't mean we won't try and collaborate with the city to do so. We are also a local partner. This means we call our Recology customer service representative. Someone who lives and works here will answer the phone. Someone who understands our geography, traffic patterns, weather. They visit the same businesses we're servicing. Someone who can be available 7 days a week and into the evening. We're a partner that takes the time to educate the community about environmental matters and how Recology can help reduce contamination recycling.
Make a summary statement.
Yeah, so final, yeah, our smaller size, employee ownership, and stronger local presence is an asset to this county and would be to North Bend as well. And again, thank you for inviting us to be here tonight and for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Anyone else here in the chambers? See, one, two, well, we got a lot of activity tonight. That's good.
I'll be brief. Jason Ritchie, 2802 Southeast 16th Street.
So in the February 7th council meeting, motion to move the authorizing the contract for Curry Osborne for the water system plan amendment was made to move that to February 21st. It is a few meetings past that now. I haven't seen that item back on the agenda. I urge council to reinvigorate that conversation, bring it back to the agenda. I would assume that that's a lengthy process to get that going through, and I see no real reason to delay getting started. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. See somebody else? No? Passing? Okay. Anyone else here in the chambers? Bree, do we have anyone online? No one online. Oh, another one comes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Nick Jensen, I'm at 1906 Olali here in North Bend. I had just been one of the Citizen Academy people, and I wanted to make sure that we publicly said how much we appreciate the people on our right, ladies and gentlemen, been teaching us for the last 6 weeks, and really appreciate the time and the questions and the patience that they've had with us. But especially a thank you to Bree and Lisa, who have been nothing better. I couldn't think of better rate gatekeepers and welcomers and making us feel like we're part of this process. So you should be really proud of the staff you have, particularly this.
Absolutely. That's a really nice way to wrap up citizen comments. With that, we'll be moving on to announcements, presentations, and appointments. And amazingly, item six here is a presentation. This is the 2023 Citizens Academy graduation. And so I've got a few words here. Then I'm going to get up. I've got a number of certificates to hand out. I'm going to ask all of those graduates to come and join me. And we'll get one more photo up in. It is really my honor tonight to introduce to the council and to the North Bend community 15 citizens who joined us for this inaugural 2023 Citizens Academy. These individuals logged more than 17 hours in class time, spending weeknights and a few Saturdays with us. They've been active participants, they've had great questions, and in fact, many spared additional time to stay late and further connect on administration, legal, public records, information, finance, fire, police, public works, community and economic development. These 15 people are an inspiring reminder of a civically engaged community. And they're not done. It's my understanding that tomorrow they're going to slog it around at the wastewater treatment plant. So that shows you the dedication. So congratulations on that one. Our goal for the Citizens Academy is to provide a new avenue for civic engagement and ultimately to grow participation in the public process here in North Bend. The success of local government truly does depend on the active involvement of our citizens. One perfect and obvious example of that is right here, your city council, who has gotten involved, and of course, those of you joining tonight's city council meeting. And I do, for the Citizens Academy, call out the poster child of that. Our pro tem went through a Citizens Academy long before North Bend had one. She went over to Snoqualmie to find out. And Council Member Colin here sits here now, not only as council member, but she's this year's pro tem. Think big, guys. So, I wanted to call that out. I wanted to thank you. This was a dream of mine from the time that I was aware of the Academy in Snoqualmie. We came in to office planning to do this. We had it drawn up, original design, started pulling it together, and then that thing that we no longer want to talk about happened, and we had to wait a while. So I'm just thrilled that we were able to get this up and going. So with that, I also want to be sure that everyone knows that moving forward, we do plan to continue offering the Citizens Academy on an annual basis. For those of you who did not get an application in on time, We do have a wait list. Please stay tuned for information on the next series. We will be doing it again. And I'm going to move away from the mic, so Bree, I hope the air out here will be picking up my words. Allison Wilson. Rapina Open. Now I'm a little bit nervous. I've been told these were in order. When I graduated college, I think I was one of 7,000, and they literally got everyone right. So I feel challenged here. Errol Tremolato. Brian Anthony. Jason Glazier. No graduation. Jason Ritchie, I know he's here. Judith Milstein. Start rotating here. Sorry, Johnson. Lisa Mandel. Another no grab. It's a mean class. Lisa, Mary Norton. Yes. Melissa Graham. Nick Jensen.
We'll get used to what it looks like to look out from this way.
You think I would mean this on purpose? Come on, keep spreading. Come on. You're graduates now. You should know how to draw. Thanks. We got it all?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
turning out the lights.
You know, my understanding was that at least one of the graduates was asking, well, now what do we got to do? Right? Exactly what you've already done. Get engaged, stay engaged, take part. We certainly invite you to stay for the rest of the meeting if you would like to. We do understand that you do have other things in your lives as well, so if you need to slip out, that's fine. Need to know that about city council meetings. Most folks come for the portion they're involved in. So, just great. Thrilled. Thank you so much. With that, we have another presentation, so I guess I have to give up the floor and move on. Snoqualmie Valley Health is here. Ms. Jensen, if you step to the mic, she has a presentation about Snoqualmie Valley Hospital and the health bed. It's all yours.
Thank you. Good evening, council members and mayor. Thank you so much for having me tonight. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here to present to you. I have been with the hospital district for about 2.5 years now, and when I arrived, I found a hospital that was merely surviving and not thriving. However, we were in the middle of this little worldwide pandemic we called COVID. And so through our time with COVID and serving this community, we've been able to put together a strategic plan that's going to take the hospital and the health district beyond where it has been and grow into something this community can be very proud of. During COVID, the healthcare district provided over 35,000 vaccinations to our community members, thousands of COVID tests, and over $1.5 million annually in uncompensated care. That's a lot of community benefit for a community of this size. So, in addition to helping our community get through COVID and survive and begin to thrive, we have added many services. The hospital district has not received a tax lift since 2008. It has been surviving on its own, trying to make ends meet however it can. But in despite of that, COVID gave us the gift and the ability to be able to rethink what we've been doing and be able to reimagine how we can grow the community. So in the past 2.5 years, we've added services. We've added 3 behavioral health providers. We've added an urgent care. We added a new electronic medical record that gives you safer care and online access to all of your medical records, which will also transfer to any other facilities outside of our area. We've added members to our primary care team, and most recently, we opened a medical aesthetics program that will be integrated with our primary care services. Just 2 weeks ago, we announced a partnership with Space Labs. If you don't know Space Labs, they are a local company that actually was responsible for monitoring astronauts that landed on the moon. And they are actually right here in Snoqualmie. We will be partnering with them to be able to deliver state-of-the-art technology to patients and residents right here in Snoqualmie as a pilot site for that technology. So we are doing things that are amazing, and we're excited to be able to serve the community more. But we know that we cannot recover the growth. This community has outgrown us, and we haven't kept up with that pace. And we need to be able to do more, and we need to think about the future. And so we would like to do some things that are on the slide here, and I see everybody reading ahead of me. So, spoiler alert, we want to expand the emergency department. Right now, when I started, we were seeing about 8 or 9 patients a day. We are currently seeing almost 20 patients a day, and on some days we have seen more. That wait time in emergency rooms is growing across our county and our area. In some areas, some not to be mentioned hospitals, you might wait 3, 6, or even 8 hours for care in those emergency rooms. I don't want you to have to wait for your emergency care for you or your family. We need to stay ahead of that growth. We only have 4 or 5 beds available in our ED, and if at any one given time we have a patient that's waiting for a bed at a transfer nearby facility, or maybe a behavioral health patient that needs specialty care in a specialty bed, they can be with us for days and then take up beds, and we don't have the ability to have good throughput. We want to make sure that you can bring your children to us for stitches and be home in time for dinner. We want to make sure we can serve you, but that means we need to grow. We are almost at capacity for the number of beds we have. You'd say 20 patients a day at a time, but unfortunately in an emergency room, those 20 patients all seem to come in the same hour. They don't spread themselves out or call ahead and see when they should come. Along with that, we need to add a new MRI and CT scanner. Both of these pieces of equipment are end of life. They are critical life-saving technology and imaging that you need in a hospital and healthcare center. We have great new providers that do women's health program. Every 2 to 3 years, we do a community health needs assessment to determine what are the most important needs that we need to provide to keep our community healthy. One of those things, as you can imagine, is women's health. We do not have mammography. So any women that need a mammography have to travel out of our area to have those critical services. I mentioned behavioral health. We've added 3 full-time providers, but we are full. One of those providers even specializes in pediatrics. So we would like to be able to add more to our team to better serve our community. Anytime a hospital or a health center grows, that means we're going to be adding careers. That means more family wage jobs and more professionals that can live right here in our own community without having to travel. We want to be able to make sure that we're not just Snoqualmie-centric. We want to make sure that North Bend and outlying areas like Fall City have more services closer to home and we don't have to always travel just to Snoqualmie. We want to make sure that the citizens of North Bend don't even think about bypassing us, that everything that you need is available to you right down the road and that you don't have to go into the city and pay for parking to be able to get healthcare services. We want to make sure that this it's not just a hospital, but it's healthcare services. We have 2 primary care clinics. We have an urgent care now, and I mentioned medical aesthetics. We want to be able to continue to expand our services to make sure that we can remain independent. You may or may not know that Snoqualmie Hospital is an independent. It's one of the rare few independent hospitals that still exist in Washington State. We are small, but we are mighty. The one most important thing about being independent is that we have an elected board of commissioners. I have one of our commissioners, vice president of our board, Commissioner Jen Carter, with me today, if I can. So our commissioners are elected just like council members right from our own community, and their job is to make sure that the needs of the community are heard and they, our hospital and healthcare services represent those voices. Being an independent hospital, a community hospital like we are, allows us to do that. Making sure that we have a long-term viability ensures that our community connection is important and stays intact. So economic impact, also, it's important to have good schools and good hospitals and good healthcare services to ensure the economic development of your communities. When people decide if they're going to live in your community, they want to know if there's good healthcare services. They want to know if there are good schools. This is an important part of us engaging with each of the cities to make sure that the economic development plans are strong and robust for the future. So how are we going to do all this? Right now, in the past 2 years, we've had some of the best financials the hospital's had in a very long time, and we are breaking even, which sounds amazing. We aren't making a ton of money, but we're making enough to be able to keep the hospital operating and provide the services we do today. But unfortunately, that doesn't leave anything left over to do these big investments, these strategic investments that I've been speaking to. So in order to be able to do that, we are asking the community to support us with a levy increase. The last time there was a levy increase for the hospital was 2008. That's a really, really long time. And so that increase, as you can see on the slide here, would mean from an average home about $19 a month increase. Next slide, please. So one of the biggest concerns and credits, and one of the reasons why I think the commissioners and the board did not do the levy increase sooner was because there's a lot of sensitivity to taxes. There's a lot of needs of these smaller communities, like schools and libraries and fire and police. And so I think the hospital was concerned about that. So one of the things that we have come up with this year to help offset the concern about increase in tax is this tax credit program. So essentially, it's pretty easy. If you live in the district and you own a home and you pay taxes, a portion of those taxes go to support the hospital. There's a line item on your bill that says, actually, hospital. If you bring in a receipt for payment of those taxes to us, we will give you 100% credit for the amount paid towards any of the services you might receive at the hospital. So if you have an emergency room visit and you need diagnostic imaging, you need stitches or whatever it might be, you can bring your bill in and get 100% credit to the patient portion of the responsibility. So it's not the insurance. The insurance pays their part. This is actually the cash out of hand responsibility. If you go see Dr. Rubin, who's in the audience with us tonight at the urgent care, you can use it towards that. Or maybe your wife would like some Botox at our new medical aesthetics program. Your tax credit can even pay for that. So we're really excited to offer this. It's fantastic for seniors that often stay local for their care, and they're most concerned about taxes and their ability to afford them, so seniors can come and receive that tax credit. It's renewable each year, so that means if you use it this year, then don't worry, you can get it again next year when you pay your tax credit or tax bill again. And the last question I have about this is people are like, okay, well, if we give a tax credit, then why do you make it, why do you live like? Well, essentially, this is also a marketing tool for us. We know that we don't serve 100% of the community right now. People do out-migrate from this community because there maybe hasn't been services they've needed or wanted to use in the past. So this will hopefully give people the opportunity to try us again and give us a second chance, since we are redesigning who we are and we are trying to better represent your needs. So hopefully people that don't use us will begin to use us, and if you do use us already, it's a huge thank you for your business and hopefully continuing to gain your business in the future. Next slide, please. So with that, again, my name is Renee Jensen. I am the CEO of the hospital. We would not be cool if we did not have a QR code, so I'm bringing you a QR code that you can scan. I know the council members have business cards that have us on it as well. If you scan that code, it will take you to our website where we have dedicated a page that is frequently asked questions. As I come to these presentations, we add more on there. The concerns that people get, we put the information there as much as we can. So hopefully, if you have more questions beyond tonight, you'll reach out. Or if other people have questions, you can direct them to the website. So with that, Mayor, I will turn it back over to you and ask Jen if I can entertain any questions.
Absolutely. Thank you, Renee. Council, I'm sure there's a couple of questions or comments.
Sir?
Yes, Mr. Rodman.
All right. Thank you. You might explain to the audience that's watching, the vast tens of people that are watching the meeting tonight, what exactly is the area that you cover for District 4? How big is that area? What communities are involved?
Great. Thank you so much for that question. They only gave me 10 minutes. I could talk about this all day, but that is definitely an important part. So we have a very large district. We cover over 400 square miles. Our district goes all the way up to Snoqualmie Pass, to the Tiger Mountain summit, all of Falls City, Preston, and Carnation, of course, North Bend and Snoqualmie are all included in that area. Thank you.
And one other follow-up on the tax credit program. What about people who aren't property tax owners that you're trying to encourage to use your facility?
Yes, so we are, you may have noticed we've had a lot of, recently in the past 2 years, a lot more social media presence and word of mouth, and we've been hiring some amazing doctors, and we've been really working hard to get out in the community and make sure that people know that we're here for them. One of the things that I heard, we attend now a lot of the community events, and maybe some that we haven't in the past, and the things I hear from people are like, what, there's a hospital here? I didn't even know that. So we've been working hard to make sure that, and honestly, it's not just a hospital. You might see that this logo on the slide that says Snoqualmie Valley Health. That's because we aren't just a hospital, and this will become our new parent brand as we rebrand ourselves to the community later this summer. You'll likely see the new logo as well. Snoqualmie Valley Health will be the parent brand, Snoqualmie Valley Hospital, Snoqualmie Valley Clinics, Snoqualmie Valley Urgent Care, etc., underneath that parent brand, but really trying to help the community understand we're not the same healthcare facility that we were a few years ago. Thank you.
Ms. Coleman.
Will your hospital be accepting patients on Medicare, Medicaid, or Apple Care? And also about our low-income patients that have no insurance?
Yes, thank you for that question as well. One of the things about being a public hospital district and a community hospital that's independent means that we accept all patients, all payers, and even those that don't have insurance. We currently accept Apple Care, Medicaid, Medicare, etc. And as I mentioned in my opening statement, we provide $1.5 million a year right now in uncompensated care. So that means if you're unable to pay your bill or have a lower income, that we do provide free services to those most in need.
Thank you
for the question.
Mr. Rosen.
I think you're talking about the levy at 70 cents per thousand. How does that compare to places like Issaquah and other surrounding cities?
For So the closest public hospital district to here would be Valley Renton or Evergreen Health in Kirkland. And millions and millions and millions of dollars separate the amount of dollars burdened by those facilities compared to ours, of course. The historical rate for the hospital in 2008 was set at 50 cents per thousand. And the interesting thing about hospitals, and as city council members, you guys are informed and you know this, but once you set your levy rate, that dollar amount stays the same, and the levy rate declines every year. We've done some projections, and we estimate that after a five-year period, the levy rate will decline to 40 cents per thousand. So it declines rather quickly. And again, just like you, we are limited by our increase to only 1% per year, so it does not even allow us to keep up with inflation. Thank you for that question.
Yeah. What else? So Renee, I noted you earlier on, you mentioned the three behavioral health care providers, and last week we were in a meeting together here in Shokan County on the crisis care plan that they have. And so, number one, I wanted to thank you for stepping up to the plate with that, as you're aware. Snoqualmie and North Bend teamed up to add that service as well as a staff member in our police services department. So glad the hospital's taking part. I know that in that conversation we're looking at a lot of ways to leverage services in each other. So the further ways you're looking around those things. A question that I get, a little one harder maybe to answer, but maybe not. Why haven't you joined a large hospital network? Why continue to be a taxpayer-supported company?
That's a fantastic question. So just prior to COVID, the hospital did a lot of work. They put out an RFP to say, because honestly, they thought they were going to have to close their doors. They didn't think they were going to be able to remain open, and they asked for people that wanted to partner and affiliate. And the long story short is that Snoqualmie is not a very desirable partner because there's a lot of debt that has been acquired over time to just keep the hospital open and keep it as a community hospital. And believe it or not, elected officials are not always desirable when you're trying to affiliate. You can imagine that the personalities can be challenging, especially if they're running a healthcare facility and may or may not know anything about healthcare.
We've never experienced anything.
You guys are all lovely. So COVID put a huge kind of break on that. Said, oh my gosh, we have to all focus on keeping our hospitals open and our communities safe. But what did come out of those affiliation talks was one of the best things that I think happened. We were able to hire independent providers, physicians, for our emergency room. So as of 2 years ago, our physicians in our emergency room, our independent group, they're the same independent group that staff at Overlake Hospital. So you have amazingly qualified, highly educated, and highly skilled physician staff in their EDs. But the affiliation stopped there. I actually, prior to this, came from an organization that was much larger, that had affiliated with a smaller hospital, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, you give up a lot. So it might keep your hospital open, but you give up your voice, you give up your independence, you give up your flexibility. There's a lot of sacrifices that communities make when they affiliate, and you have to become part of the big machine. And I think communities like North Bend and Snoqualmie enjoy having their say and having their healthcare services the way they would like them, and independent decisions about it. I mean, what's better than having an elected board of five people that get to really represent your voice and the services that you have here? Otherwise, somebody at corporate would say, you know, I know you guys really like XYZ service, but it doesn't make any money, like behavioral health, for example. Behavioral health is not a service line that generates revenue. We try to provide the service to the community. And they might say, we can't do that here. We're going to centralize it in Bellevue or Seattle or wherever that affiliation should be. So it allows us to be able to say those tax dollars can support some of those services that aren't necessarily going to be revenue generators to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I know that there may be some comments or questions from the audience, so I'll be available.
Great. Thank you. Council, with that, we are ready to... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Dr. Jason Rubin. I just wanted to say a word or two.
Sure.
I live in North Bend. I'm at 43801 Southeast 87th Street. I've lived in North Bend for over 10 years, and I've worked at Snoqualmie Valley Hospital since 2005, about 17 years. I spent most of that time in the emergency department, and more recently I left the ER to become the COVID lead physician and medical director of the Snoqualmie Ridge Urgent Care. I've probably taken care of any of you and your families. Over the last 17 years, I've watched the needs of our community continue to grow. I started out working in a small, three-bed emergency department where the Snoqualmie Tribal Family Clinic is now. As our volumes increased, we expanded into the new hospital with a six-bed ER, doubled, and more outpatient services, and it truly was a night and day difference. But over the past few years, I've been watching our volumes double again. We have a fantastic ER crew right now. But it's become obvious that we're soon to become space limited. Our little waiting room is starting to fill up more and more. We can hire more staff, but we really do need more physical rooms to care for patients and more lab space to keep up with all the ancillary tests and state-of-the-art CT and MRI machines so that we can get the same high-quality images as any other hospital in the area. That's why I support this tax levy, so our doctors, nurses, and staff can continue to provide excellent care to our patients and this community while keeping the wait times low. That's the health care that my friends and neighbors deserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Council, with that, we're ready to move on to commission and committee reports. We'll start with Ms. Miller. You may act on that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All right. CED, which is Community Economic Development Committee, met today at 3:30, March 21st, of course, in the adjournment room. And we have three things on our agenda. First up was the docket for 2023 code amendments and 2024 comprehensive plan update. The committee recommended consent, so for initiation of the docket, so we see that coming forward. We have also on the agenda a legislative update given to us by Rebecca Deming, much appreciated. And then finally, we discussed the council field trip in the future, which is tentative for, let's see, July, sometime July at 6 p.m., probably about a 2-hour tour. And we next meet April 18th in the adjournment room. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott Hill, Finance and Administration.
Thank you. The Finance Administration Committee met March 14th at 4 o'clock at the City Hall General Room. We discussed the motion that was consent agenda for the penalty consulting LLC. We discussed a motion that's coming up tonight on our agenda authorizing to do business with broader HAP. The two motions that were moved off tonight were also discussed, the purchasing ordinance and then the new policy. Ordinance removing the old two ones. That was moved to finance it together. Pending items from upcoming meetings are city debt, financial reporting, quarterly reports of best practices. Finance department staffing size of credits with other cities and comparable budgets. That is all.
Mr. Rosen, Public Health and Safety.
Thank you, Your Honor. We met on March 7th at 4 o'clock here at City Hall. We had three items on our agenda. We had a presentation from some of our local nonprofits regarding behavioral health programs that the city hopes to fund with some of our ARPA funds, and I believe we're getting very close to the funding. So that'll be fantastic. In addition to that, we also had a police and a fire update. That is all, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Transportation and Public Works.
Thank you, Your Honor. We last met on February 28th at the meeting adjournment room at 4 o'clock. We had 11 items on the agenda, several of which have been moved forward on previous consent agendas and this evening's consent agenda, and several items that we're going to be discussing in a few minutes. We talked about closing out a North Bend Way capital project on sidewalks, a waters and roadway improvement capital project on 2nd Street, an ILA with King County Way for pavement overlay, a contract with DKS for transportation planning and engineering review, a contract with Hadrivo for leak detection services to continue our efforts in removing INI issues in our water system. And a contract for on-call services with Keithley Electric. A motion we discussed last week that was a subject that we discussed was the QCC water, sewer, wastewater treatment plant SCADA system upgrade that we approved last week. And consideration of a modification for the 2nd Street Ballarat Avenue intersection from a two-way stop to a four-way stop was discussed as well. Our next meeting will be next Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the adjournment room. That's it, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Gallo, back to you, Eastside Fire and Rescue.
Thank you. Eastside Fire and Rescue Board of Directors met March 9th at 4 p.m. at Eastside Fire and Rescue Headquarters on Newport Lane. We administered the oath of office to three new individuals, one which is an emergency management analyst, the other was a court care coordinator, and then an emergency manager. We also discussed for regular business the fire chief performance evaluation and policy of roles and responsibilities for directors. We had a robust discussion about virtual meetings and how to move those forward. I look forward to that as we go forward and understand how to tighten that up a little bit more. We did have an executive session at the end of it, and we ended. So the things that I kind of point out, we are going to start having, and this is for this council, is there is a, we do this fire ground 1-1, we're going to be bringing that back, and I will be bringing invitations out to you guys for that sometime before the summer. It's really a fun environment where you get to learn what it takes to be a firefighter, you actually get to use some of their tools. I went several years ago, and was able to wear one of those masks and go into a smoke room and try to pull somebody out and understand how to do that. So I encourage this council to get involved and sign up for that. That is it.
Thank you.
Do we get to drive the fire trucks again?
No. You know, last time, you know what happened.
But we were not going to speak of that.
I asked when they send you in the building.
Yeah, they said don't let Jonathan drive
that. Instead, I gave a little red
hat. Stemming, are you out there? Mission reports.
Thank you. The Planning Commission last met on March 1st for an introduction open house and public hearing on a housing needs assessment and housing action plan being prepared by the city's consultant, Blue Rider. The Planning Commission also held annual appointments for chair and vice chair. Susan Ferguson will continue as chair in 2023, and Olivia Moe will serve as vice chair. The Planning Commission will next meet on April 5th to continue with review and deliberation on a housing action plan for a recommendation to City Council. The Parks Commission did not meet last month. Both Park and Planning Commission will jointly meet on April 19th to deliberate and possibly make a recommendation to Council on the updated draft of the Parks Element. The Economic Development Commission last met on February 28th. The Commission set its priorities for the remainder of 2023, and the EDC will next meet Tuesday, March 28th. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to regional committees. Ms. Cullen.
King County Board of Health, they met on 3/16 via hybrid, Zoom, or in person. That I wanted you to know, the mask mandates are ending on April 3rd for hospitals, jails, and long-term facilities. They had an update on youth and cannabis use. They are currently focusing on very young children that are accidentally ingesting edibles that look like candy. They have plans to require packaging to be less appealing to teenagers, and they would like a safe storage program for vapes and oils. They gave a state legislative update about bills that have died and bills that are still alive, and there is a rise of tuberculosis cases in Pierce County.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Public Issues Committee of the Sound Cities Association met the second week of this month, and we spent about an hour and a half on a legislative update.
and it was mostly focused about the impacts of several bills concerning housing and affordability. House Bill 1110 has been modified, but is still causing a lot of consternation among a lot of the communities in the state. It's the proposal that would mandate that any single-family zoning in the majority of communities in this state would have to allow for two or fourplexes anywhere within the city that's zoned single-family resident. And if you're a larger city, it could be up to six and higher. So some, if you have a single-family home, essentially, you could end up having to welcome six neighbors on the lot next door. It's it seems to have a life of its own. There doesn't seem to be a lot of will in Olympia to dissuade them from moving forward with this proposal. Right now, the city of North Bend is below the threshold for mandating the upgrades or the upzoning in all residential zones. But as is the case with most things, they start off at one level and they seem to creep their way back down to the rest of us. So just keep that on your radar. If you have an opportunity to communicate with your elected officials in Olympia, I would strongly suggest you do so while there's still a chance to potentially modify those proposals. The other item that took up almost an hour was a review of the King County Regional Homelessness Association and its draft budget coming forward. Billions and billions of dollars. Seems like there is no end to it. Unfortunately, some of the governance model has come under scrutiny, the effectiveness of some of the programming, and we're having a lot of discussions on a regional level about what we can do to try and get some accountability and some regional equity in terms of bringing services to the outlying areas. We are paying the same rates and taxes as anybody else, but what's coming back to us, it's somewhat suspect. But that's what we did, and there is a networking dinner on the 29th for those of you who have not put in your reservation yet. I don't know if it's closed at this point, but that's an opportunity to get and meet with all the other elected officials in the county. That's it, Your Honor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yep, Ms. Coleman, back to you.
Mayor Pro Tem update. We had a work study on February 28th that involved a complete streets plan. This would be converting North Bend Way, the current highway, to a level landscaped multimodal boulevard with form-based codes implemented to beautify the architecture and public spaces along the boulevard, and also to promote safety with bike lanes and walkability biking. Thank you.
Thank you for speaking up. Sorry, skipped over to that one. She's even right next to me. Could have just given me the other one. It's very kind. Thank you.
Please do.
A couple other regional things. The Puget Sound Regional Council Executive Board, our first meeting was in January, late January, where we approved the calendar for the year and reviewed expected work plan. We also met again on February 23rd to receive a legislative update, much as Mr. Lautenbach describes. And then our next meeting is this Thursday. The King County Growth Management Planning Council Committee had its first meeting on January 25th, and where we discussed amendments to the 4-to-1 growth management mandate plan policies. And our next meeting is tomorrow, where it is possible we will take a vote on amendments to that plan as introduced. We should mention that the Snoqualmie Valley Government Association meets tomorrow evening, and many of you are expecting and attending that, as will I be. The SVGA Transportation Committee has not met this year, but will be meeting soon to continue our work with Metro and our local Suquamish Valley Transit for better transit services here to the local valley communities. Flood Control District for King County did adopt its calendar and work plan via email earlier this year, and our first formal meeting is yet upcoming. That I think brings us to the end of regional committee reports. Seeing that I've missed something else, we'll move on to the main agenda. Agenda item number 8 in your packet, AB 23-034. This is a public hearing. Ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code 3.78, multifamily tax exemption program. We'll start with an update by City Attorney Marshall, and get any clarifying questions, only clarifying questions out of council. I'll then open the public hearing. We'll take testimony, and then after that, we will move to introduction of the motion and deliberation. So, Ms. Marshall.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. This is your second reading of the proposed multifamily tax exemption program. It would add a chapter to the North Bend Municipal Code at chapter 3.78, and that would track with the RCW 8414 that authorizes such a program. Anyone who wishes to participate in the program needs to demonstrate that they are going to develop at least 4 multifamily units, 20 of which will be sold at affordable levels, and that is 80% of the median household income for King County. The applicant, if the application materials are sufficient, would receive a conditional permit. Permit is for 3 years with a possible extension of 2 more years to develop and construct the property, at which time they would be qualified for a final certificate. And if that is approved, that is filed with the King County Assessor, thereby excusing them from property taxes for a period of 8 or 12 years. I would note that the City of North Bend does not qualify for the 20-year exemption because we are not on a rapid transit line or something to that effect. Tonight is a public hearing, as required by law, and this public hearing was noticed twice to the Snoqualmie Herald, once on the 3rd of March and the 2nd on the 10th of March, and I would be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Council, any clarifying questions? Seeing none, we'll open the public hearing. If you're a member of the public wish to testify regarding this agenda bill, please step forward if you're here in council chambers or indicate in the chat box or by *9 if you are online. You'll be called upon. You'll have up to 3 minutes to speak, starting with your name and address for the record. Anyone here in chambers? Not seeing any great flood to the podium. Bree, do we have anyone online? We have no one online. With that, closed public hearing. And let's see, this, Mr. Rosen, or excuse me, Mr. Loudenbeck, did this come through your committee?
No, it did not.
It did not. Anybody want to take ownership of this? I forget where we were. This is CDD, Ms. Miller.
I'll do it first.
I think it was, actually.
I'll just jump in.
Yeah, she jumped in.
That was sound, Mary.
Okay.
21.
And the same was.
Motion to approve AB 23-034, an ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code 3.78 relating to multifamily tax exemption program for the final reading.
Second by Mr. Bodenbach. Ms. Miller, do you have anything to add?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything to add at this time.
Mr. Bodenbach?
I think it's another demonstration of the City of North Bend doing what it can to help promote affordable living within the city. While we already have several projects underway, this will encourage other development to come forward with not fully subsidized, but at least a more affordable
rent situation for people here in our community and create workforce housing. That's it, Your Honor.
Council? Yes. Mr. Rosen, no? All right, seeing none, the motion before you is to approve AB 23-034, an ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code 3.78 relating to the multifamily tax exemption program as a final reading. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and it is unanimous. Thank you very much, Council. As a reminder, earlier this evening we item number 9, AB 23-035. This is a motion authorizing HGAC contract regarding Robert Haft. Mr. Gold?
Evening, Mayor and Council. HGAC is authorized to contract with eligible entities to perform governmental functions and services, including the purchase of goods and services. The period of this contract shall be from the balance of the fiscal year of the end user, which began 01 January 1st, 2023, and ends 12/31/2023. Staff is requesting approval of this cooperative agreement to do business with Robert Half International for the purpose of hiring temporary financial support staff. It is my intent to make use of such temporary staff to assist current staff in critical duties such as filing and organizing the department, while also completing the year-end process for 2022. The City Council may be aware that the City's Finance Department has been playing catch-up much of the time since I arrived last April. The hiring of temporary staff will assist in getting the City current, while also filling in during the financial software conversion, which is now commenced. The implementation of the new financial software, Springbrook, will cause a significant increase in the Finance Department workload, and having Robert Half temporary employees available will assist greatly in this project. The goal is to have the Finance Department current and the new software implemented and reconciled at the end of 2023, fiscal year end. The estimated cost of $50,000 is available in professional services and due to the staff shortages that were budgeted from January 1st, 2023. So I know this is an unusual agreement. I've worked with these in other cities before to make large purchases like a telephone system. And Lisa Marshall will speak to this. And I also have a representative from Robert Half, Anthony Pitch, who's on Zoom. And he also can speak to any questions you might have about how this works.
Okay. And did you have, Ms. Marshall, did you have something to add?
I can. There was a few questions I understand from this circulating through some of the committee meetings, and I will add that both Richard and I struggled with the form of professional services contract we were provided by Robert Half. For example, it did not allow its employees to handle very much money, which would be a problem in the finance department, and there were other concerns as well. We spoke with Robert Half for a couple of months until we were presented with this interlocal agreement, essentially, that allows qualified agencies to use each other's contracts, the terms and conditions of which would be submitted by purchase order and invoice. So this is not using the Robert Half terms and conditions. One of the other questions I received was, what do we do with the fact it's a Texas organization? And there is a provision that says dispute between the party, procuring party, and the vendor are resolved in the state of purchase. So that would be the state of Washington, fortunately. If that language wasn't in the agreement, we go to federal court, which is what happens when there's a dispute between parties in different states. In my view, this is a, not perfect, but it is a much more satisfactory solution to the Robert Half question than the original contract provided. And consider my role to support the department if we can do so with little risk, and I think this is good risk.
Thank you. Mr. Gold, did you want the representative to speak now, or is he just available for questions?
I'd like him to be available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Council, as we turn to see if we have any clarifying, I want to reinforce, regardless of what we think of this contract, as you're well aware, for the year, it's been one step forward, one step back, sometimes probably two steps back in finances. We've been adjusting. We've been down at least a position.
Now we're down two.
And now we're currently down two, although we have a new manager starting this coming week. And we're thrilled about that. And we've got an advertisement out, and I understand some applications already to refill one of the utility clerk roles. And so, again, we're going to hope we're going to get back up to full speed, but as Mr. Gold said, with the also with the transition to new software, that puts a lot of added burden on. And so we have definitely struggled for this entire year in trying to get to where we want to be. I will also finally note, although you won't appreciate it, that I committed Mr. Gold to delivering a financial report to council next month on the first quarter of the year. And again, that's a stretch because he's still behind the wheel, but we're going to get that as well. With that, any clarifying questions? Mr. Graham?
Yeah, I just want to, this came to finance, and I just wanted to give Robert a chance to explain, because it may have come before this body in a different amount, explaining why 50,000 as opposed to, I think, we've seen other amounts. So we might want to clarify that.
I can clarify that. And I looked at the amount, I looked at the rates that they quoted me. They were varying rates for the level of the accountant who's hiring for the clerical worker. And I came up with an average, and I put in the average I believe we'll need to get caught up to do all the work we need to do. And that's where I came up with $50,000 to cover that. And we do have in the budget, that question was asked at the Finance Administration Committee meeting. And we do have the budget, it's in some of the professional services in the administrative department of the general fund. And then the rest of it, that was $25,000, and the rest of it is the labor costs we have not used because we, in the budget, we have the whole year budget for the manager and for other staff, and we haven't used any of that, so that's going to be more than $50,000, but I think $50,000 should get us. If I had to come back from Marwood, I mean, I wouldn't go over that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Rosen?
Yeah. The Lisa, the Texas thing seemed a little odd, but you said this is not the perfect answer. Mm-hmm. What is the perfect answer?
The perfect answer would have been a professional services agreement that contained our terms and conditions. And when we received Robert Haft, we gave them ours, and they converted into their agreement. So that's where we ended with that negotiation. And quite bluntly, that would have been a perfect solution. This is a low-risk item, in my opinion, and it does get Richard the assistance that he needs.
Okay, thank you.
Any other clarifying questions? Okay. If you are a member of the public and wish to speak on the item in front of us, please step to the podium or indicate the chat box and we'll call upon you. Up to 3 minutes to speak, starting with your name and address for the record. Not seeing any great rush to the podium again here in City Hall. Free, do we have anyone online? No one online. With that, Mr. Godhelp, we'll turn to you for a motion.
Thank you. Motion to approve AB 23-035, authorizing the mayor to execute the H-GAC Intergovernmental Cooperation Contract attached hereto as Exhibit A.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. I have a second. Mr. Scott, anything to add?
No, I don't like that it's not a perfect agreement, that they're not using our agreement, but I think that at this point in time, he needs the staff to help to move forward and do recommended pass.
Thank you. Mr. Rosen, anything to add?
Nothing.
Any council? Anyone else? Mr. Elwood.
Thank you. In the committee meeting, we were talking about the variety of services that this professional services would provide. And I believe you mentioned that there would be a filing and things of that nature. The other question that came up was technology, and I think we supply them with a laptop, I believe, or the other way around.
Yes, we do supply them with the equipment. And you also asked the question about will it be on site or will it be
correct
telecommuting? And it will be a hybrid model where we do have the availability. sometimes some of the best applicants we'll get will be, won't live close to here, but we can use their skill set. And so we can make that work. I prefer that they come on site, so because they're going to need to learn a little bit with us. So that's probably the model we're going to go with to try to do. You also asked the question about cyber safety as something like that.
Data security and how that's important.
Right, and that's something that I believe that Anthony could talk to, and maybe also Rebecca on the IT side of it. Because I know we have firewalls in place and everything to protect us, and I think the same would be true for, I know the same would be true for anybody else in the work here, but if they're off site, we still have ways to do that and protect our network. So, but Anthony, if you could speak to how it works when you have somebody come work for the city. They do work for other cities in one's
time. Right, and there's different rules and laws, you know, state lines.
Hey, Anthony?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
We can, go ahead.
Yes, I can hear you guys. So to speak to the data privacy, in speaking with Richard, our greatest suggestion is always to use the client as in your guys' equipment so that your own IT team is thoroughly involved in that process. If someone was to be let go from an assignment, you guys would be able to turn off their access immediately. We do have the ability to provide equipment through Robert Half. But to be honest, we try to stick away from that as much as possible. We have our own IT team that would be providing security if it was using our equipment, but if there's any chance at all to use your guys' equipment, that would be as beneficial as possible.
You, Stemming, did you want to add anything to IT?
I don't see an issue using city equipment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All in. Motion to approve AB 23-035, authorizing the mayor to execute the H-GAC Intergovernmental Cooperation Contract attached hereto as Exhibit A. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. It is unanimous. Now, the statement I started to make is a reminder that items 10 and 11 were removed from the agenda earlier tonight, so we are on to item number 12, AB-23-038. This is a motion authorizing a contract for solid waste and recycling services. Mr. Rigos.
Thank you, Mayor Rob. The evening, Council. Page 73 in your packets. On solid waste tonight, I'd like to say first that the city has been pleased to have a very long-term relationship with Republic, who's here tonight. The motion in front of you tonight, though, is to approve a 12-year contract between the city and Recology. I'm going to provide a two-part staff report. I'll give the first part, and then I'll reintroduce Jeff, and we'll take the podium to finish it up. So quick recap first, for quarter one of 2022, the city contracted with Epicenter Services to provide solid waste procurement for the city. City's contract with the solid waste company Republic Services is expiring on March 31st, 2024. The city has had two two-year extensions with Republic, but those are ending very shortly. Back in 2011, when the city negotiated that contract, the economy as a whole, we remember back in 2011, was in a recession, so the city was able to get a bargain of a contract with Republic at that time. Those good times and inexpensive solid waste rates are unfortunately coming to an end. The city cannot extend the contract any farther. Last year, in 2022, with Epicenter's support, the city prepared a request for proposals, and the city received three. They were scored quantitatively and qualitatively. Republic had the lowest rates, but Recology scored highest for qualitative measures that included customer service, recycling, community outreach, and education, among other things. The scoring of the three proposals put Republic on top, but not by much. City staff took the contract forward to City Council with Republic in November 2022. Council did not approve that contract. There was interest from the city to obtain customer credits from Republic due to the 2021 strike that happened with the snow events, and there was the San Diego strike, and then then the city incurred some costs for hauling it to Ferguson Park, and the city public works maintenance staff was taking care of solid waste there for a week or two. So although Republic has provided adequate customer service over the life of the contract, this was a slip up. Unfortunately, Republic would just not budge on any changes to that contract on customer credits or otherwise. I reported back to council that Republic has not been moving on that. So there was that 2-5 vote against Republic by council, so it was time to talk with Recology at the center, and I have had discussions with them for the past several months. They are here tonight. Reminder, they scored number one in qualitative and had really good references. At this point, I'll reintroduce Jeff with Epicenter Services. He's here with Jeanette as well. And you can take us to the finish line. That would be great.
Okay, thank you. It's a good time to put my glasses on. So what I'd like to do is just recap a little bit of some of the twists and turns, just so I think it creates a better understanding and can be easier for the public to understand and follow some of what we've been talking about. As was mentioned, on November 15th, we brought the original contracts, new contract for the public, forward, and it was not approved into the first condition of review. The city team, which included us, met with the public, and we were really trying to push for some sort of credit for repetitive service failures at no additional cost to the ratepayer. I wanted to expand on this slightly because I think it's actually an important point. Due to the service interruptions that happened last winter, I guess it's still last winter, there was a lot of concern about what happens when you don't just miss a week, when you actually start having a repetitive failure where you miss the following week and you miss the following week. Is there a credit? Is there not? When we did the RFP, we included an alternative in the RFP that basically said, what would it cost to actually set up a credit system, not only for inclement weather and for strikes, but also for things like service delivery, like if your cart's delivered late. You know, I actually go to a model where customer credits are provided for a number of items. And we got the rates in, and there were differences between the proponents, but it was $50,000, $70,000, different numbers like that. And so we looked at the fact that we would be looking at an even higher rate increase than you're looking at. We'd be increasing rates even more to create kind of a fund that could go to be returned to customers for service failures. And that was, quite frankly, unappealing. So what we did when we sat down and we talked to the public is that we absolutely want to take something to council that says, if there's repetitive service failure, we will do this, they can fill in the blank, and there will be no additional cost to the ratepayer. And I basically said, almost verbatim, we need something in writing to take back to council to say that we've dealt with this and that what happened last winter was not going to happen again. They were unable to provide something, and I think there may have been some concerns about us creating precedent, and that for whatever reason, we were not able to bring something back. So in January and February, there were internal discussions with council members, with staff members, with us, about what to do, whether we wanted to reissue the RFP, change the contract, make service credits mandatory, just make it part of the base contract. Should we do that? Should we do other changes to the contract that may reduce costs? Should we reissue the RFP? Should we just ask for an addendum and ask for updated rates that then would be reevaluated? So we looked at what we could do reasonably with the amount of time that we have, because again, there's a lot of lead time in these contracts, and we didn't have a lot of time. And the consensus that I think everybody ended up on, or at least was our direction, was let's see what Recology, as the number two proposer, could provide. Let's sit down and talk with them and find out if we can narrow the difference in rates and what they'll do for us. So we went and had some initial discussions with Recology, and they were actually able to greatly reduce the difference between their rates and Republic's rates
part of it, and only part of it, was the shift between the 10 and 12 year contract. That was their idea. We asked them, what can we do to narrow this gap? And that was one of their ideas. They were willing to offer a customer credit for repetitive service failure and at no additional cost to the customers. And they added a number of other service items, access to the pathology store in Issaquah, where customers can take the textiles and styrofoam and other hardware cycle items. Just other things got added into the contract as part of what they were willing to do to get the contract. And so we felt that that was a reasonable deal for the city and avoided going out through more of an RFP process with the clock ticking as it was. And that is the contract that is in front of you today. So with that recap, I wasn't going to repeat the staff memo. I thought what I should do is just go ahead and open up to questions because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions.
Thank you, Jeff. And again, council, questions, if you want to get them out now before we turn to public comment. If there's any clarifying questions, I'm not seeing any. Mr. Elder.
Thank you. This is pertains to a question that I raised in the email, and thank you, Mr. Rigos, for addressing it, but I'll just bring it up here in case others are wondering the same. And don't have the benefit of your voiceover. In the packet, on the summary statement, there is a table that reflects the differences between the current Republic contract rates and the new contract rates from Recology. There's a substantial difference between those rates, and it's quite significant, and it's called out. However, when you read through the summary statement, it continues on to section of this document, and it provides a more detailed table that has several columns. One of the columns that does a comparison set here looks at Recology's new contract proposed rates, and then an asterisk column that talks about Republic's new contract adjusted proposed rates. And just as a layperson reading through that, and I'm looking back and forth, it seems like there's not much difference between what I assume is the hypothetical scenario of what Republic's new rates will become relative to what Recology's proposed bids are. And I do understand the 2-year, 10-year difference is factoring in on that. But if you were to level set what's going to happen with Recology if we go with Republic, if we did not go with Recology, and just level set the playing field, how dramatically different are those rates for residential as well as multifamily commercial? Because I see there's some different elements back and forth. I mean, my reading is that there's not much difference in the overall cost. Would that be a correct summary?
And I apologize for the format of the two tables. What I was trying to achieve there was the contract in front of you is the main focus of that first table. It's like, here are your rates today, right now, and here are the rates if we proceed with this contract, and everything has been equalized to be 2023 rates, 2023 King County tipping fees, your 7.5 administrative fee. So before, what gets really messy is we issued an RFP in 2022, so we had $2022 in 2022 King County tipping fees, and then we're talking about a contract that's going to start in 2024, and in a high inflationary period, the numbers are all over the place. And so what we tried to do in the staff report was, no, we're going to go back and we're going to make sure everything is 2023. So that first table is all about, here's where people are right now with incredible rates. I did a great job 2 years ago. There are some unfortunate outcomes of that, which is now reality bites. But, you know, that table was just to say, this is where we are, and this is actually where kind of the rest of the world is, too. And, you know, you're looking at really big ratings. The whole purpose of this next table was, well, let's just do a reality check. Let's go and exhibit A. Let's do a reality check, go back and say, okay, doing the same exercise where it's 2023 inflation, it's $2023, it's the current administrative fee, it's a King County tipping fees, everything is held constant. And we have embedded compost in there, and you know, the service package is the same as it is today. Everything's the same. This is about where we think the Republic rates would be. I'm not talking to them, and it is true that if we had sat down and talked with them when we did, and they said, hey, you know, if you give us a 12-year contract, we'll have lower rates, you know, that's true. But they didn't bring it up, and we didn't ask the question. So there are differences, and it is not necessarily what the rates would actually be, but it was a reality check just to see, you know, if we actually try to make everything apples all throughout. In fact, there weren't a lot of differences. A lot of the differences you did see were sector by sector, line of business. And the reason for that is that we don't prescribe how cost accounting works for the haulers when they allocate costs across sectors. All we ask is that it provide cost of service rates, which means that each sector is paying their full freight for what they're getting. And whether they, for example, take an overhead cost and allocate it by customer count, or yardage, or tonnage, really isn't my concern. My concern is there's no subsidies that are going to come up and bite us. Because, let's say, in 5 years, the commercial sector grew by 100% and the residential sector grew by 50%, you'd be out of balance if you had a whole system of rates based on subsidies. So what you're seeing in that second table, when you see the different percentages by line of business, is just the different ways that haulers allocate their costs and how they feel that what they're willing to stand behind is the true cost of service and not come back to the city knocking on your door saying, hey, we have a shortfall, our commercial rates need to go up. It's like, no. You propose cost of service rates, you sign a contract based on that, and that's what they're going to be. So that, hopefully that's a better explanation of those two to two tables of why that second table is there.
No, I thank you for that, and I want to give credit where credit is due. Councilmember Johnson and I were chatting about it, and he called it out, and I looked at it, and I thought I had the same conclusion as he did. So I want to thank you for that, but I also want to thank you for that explanation.
Sorry for the length of that.
Yeah. Any other questions? Ms. Cole?
My question is the 10-year contract versus the 12-year contract. When we first started talking about having to renew our waste management contract, I initially asked, does it have to be 10 years? That's scary to me. That's a long time. Can it be 5 years? And it was explained to me that it's based on truck service and equipment timing. So is 12 years still within the safety zone of equipment, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yes, and actually, part of that's tied to the fact that they're not the incumbent. And so they're going to, because so much time has passed, we're already in March, they're not going to have new trucks by the first day, the start date of the contract. And so they're going to have to use some interim trucks there for the first year. So part of this acknowledges the fact that they're going to buy new equipment that they need to amortize for the remainder of the contract, but not get the full 12 years to do it. They're going to get a reduced period because the trucks are only going to be used for 10 and a half or 11 years. And so I feel fairly comfortable that we're not aging out equipment or running really old equipment with a 12-year contract, because that new equipment is only going to be 10 and a half or 11 years old at the end of the contract.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing any other questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jeff, can you speak to, this could be kind of a layman's term kind of thought, how much our citizens might expect to see on their monthly rates between the differences of Ecology and Republic? Would it be like a couple dollars? Can you speak to anything like that?
Yeah, the last table, see what you're saying, but I do have to.
Okay.
You know, so basically, if you take a 32-gallon cart, which is in most cities, as I alluded to in the staff report, in most cities in King County, a 32-gallon cart is your standard service level size. In North Bend, double that size is your current service size. But let's say a 32-gallon cart.
you know, they'd be looking at essentially $2023, a rate of about 51.57, and they'd be looking at, you know, 53.54 if our assumptions about Republic's rates are correct. So it's a fairly, you know, it's in the same ballpark. And the one thing I did note in the staff report, which I'd like to mention again, is that the service levels are not static. If somebody wants to recycle more and want to compost more, they can certainly reduce their level towards the King County standard size. And that bumps them down. So just because they're at 64 now or 32 now doesn't mean that they can't bump down to avoid the rate increase. And in other cities that have seen fairly steep rate increases, it's elastic. You know, they'll see people recalibrate their service level to match what they want.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, twice I thought, no more. Mr. Rosen?
Yeah, you mentioned the average North Bend resident is 64 gallons. Mm-hmm. What are those rates looking like? Are they?
To defer to.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me.
Because, yeah, looking, everything here is 32.
Yeah, the full ratio here. Yeah, so there's a 45, which is in between. That would be 62, and then 64 would be 74.
And what is it currently? I'm just trying to see what our increase is. Or if you don't have it, that's okay. I understand.
I was running just off the most common service level for most of the analysis that King County County.
Okay, so we're looking at about 74 for most residents who are on 64 gallons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. It's sorry to put you on the spot.
So, yeah, that's the 39 is $40 basically.
Right now?
Here.
It's running about 40. Okay.
$40.
Okay, so that helps me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ms. Cole?
And my memory might be failing because this was a while back when I first read all of the contract proposals, but I thought there was a spot where Recology, if you were like a single person who had the smallest can and you didn't make much trash and you were composting and recycling, you could have every other week service. Is that true?
There's a monthly service level that is a 32-gallon can picked up once a month. Which is actually my service level. Basically that means you don't have to fuss with putting on garbage every week. And you know, if you don't generate much, it tends to be a very economical way to get service. And recycling and composting is still on the regular schedule, so it's only garbage that gets shipped in on a monthly basis. And you've got a certain number of customers already on that service.
Thank you.
Appreciate you bringing that up. All right, looking again. Okay, I think this time we have exhausted the questions. Jeff, don't go far, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think I am correct in that. Well, I don't know anymore. I'm going to try again. Did this come through transportation public work?
So, were you going to take public comments first, sir?
Thank you. Boy, I didn't think I was that late. I'm apparently wearing out already. Public comment. Yes. If you are a member of the public, betting you do, and would like to speak on this agenda item, if you're here in chambers, you'll move to the podium as you are already doing. If you are online, please indicate in the chat box, and then we will call upon you. Let's start with name and address.
Good evening, Mayor Cliff Harland and council members. My name is Anthony Brokop, General Manager of Recology King County, 801 South Hidalgo Street, Seattle. It's an honor to be here tonight on behalf of Recology. We're excited at the prospect to demonstrate our commitment to the City of North Bend as your community's provider of recycling and solid waste services. Providing North Bend with the exceptional service starts with building a relationship with your residents and your businesses. For us, this means playing an active role in your community and supporting your organizations, events, and schools over the next 12 years and potentially beyond. It's important to us that this essential service is delivered reliably and with the quality from the onset. Given this opportunity, we are more than prepared to begin a partnership with North Bend within the next 12 months. Over the past decade, our tenured operations team has successfully implemented 10 city contracts. We're confident in our process, and we're excited to be able to add North Bend to that list, that family. Also, our local call center representatives will be on lockstep with our operations team to learn your neighborhoods and your streets. They perform ride-alongs with our drivers and collaborate with our route mapping specialists to thoroughly learn North Bend's service plan. Equally as important, current drivers in your city would have the opportunity to follow their work and join Recology as employee owners and members of Teamsters Local 174. Again, thank you for the consideration in this process. It's our aim to earn your trust and to build a long-standing partnership. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor. My name is Logan Harvey. I'm the Government Community Relations Manager for College of Chief County. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here speaking with you tonight. My colleagues have spoken a lot about partnership, and it's something that we really take a great importance for the employers who are called Chief County. We really truly see our cities as partners. And I kind of want to speak a little bit of what that looks like. With our community education team or our waste zero team, we hung over 5,000 door hangers on tenant stores throughout the county. So at every single community, we're going to individual tenant stores to provide recycling education and to help improve their waste diversion and reduce contamination. This led to a contamination reduction from over 20% in 2019 in the city of CTAC to below 8% on average right now. And it's increasing recycling as well. As we're implementing the city contract in the city of Issaquah, the new contract in the city of Issaquah, we're developing brochures and outreach to the community members to inform them more about how they can reduce their garbage bill by properly composting and recycling. And like in Issaquah in North Bend, we'd be going to businesses to actively educate them on how to do that, analyze their waste streams, look at how much recycling is in their garbage, how much food waste is at a restaurant, and moving that into a cheaper compost stream. So while rates will be higher initially on the garbage side of things, low-cost compost and embedded recycling provide solutions for customers to reduce their overall service bills. As a government community relations manager, I work directly with staff, meeting on a monthly basis and work individually to solve problems. When we've had customers who've had some service issues, I give them my cell phone number. They directly text me if they have any ongoing issues. I work with our operations team to make sure that they get resolved. This has gone so far as me driving to people's, so one city had a bunch of pallets dumped in the recycling bin, couldn't get service, our truck couldn't pick it up. I drove myself in a van to pull that material out of there. We are here, we are local. We have a local customer service team. We have a Recology store right around the corner where customers can bring the batteries and recycle the batteries, fluorescent light bulbs, and other materials that they're bringing to your city hall now. And we'd be happy to set up a streetscapes pickup for that as well, so you guys don't have to be hauling it yourself. We look forward to being engaged in your community. We look forward to doing touch and truck events at your preschools and schools, educating your students on how to properly recycle. And we can't wait to partner with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't realize I get to speak twice. Wendy Whitaker, Republic Services. You've heard from me many times at this podium and in email. And I think it's going to take us about 15 months to that awful January endless snowstorm. And I've apologized for that many times, and I'll just say, when there's snow on the ground and our trucks can't get through, it's not safe to serve. The one-day labor disruption that we had, it seems to have thrown this whole process into arrears. We tried to address that when we got the recommendation last November. We absolutely are committed to this community. We've been in this community for 30 years. My drivers, my team, my outreach staff, we love serving this community. We love being at your preschools and your community centers and working with your multifamily customers to try to reduce contamination. We know this community, we've served this community for 30 years, and one day disruption that we tried to address, we got the initial recommendation as the top evaluator, top score by your staff in a robust process. We want to work through that. We wanted to work through that. Staff changed, meetings got canceled, agenda bills got tabled. We didn't know who to talk to. We didn't know how to engage. We had a couple of conversations, but we needed to hear from this council. We wanted to hear which direction we wanted to go with any credits then and any credits going forward. We weren't sure which direction you would want to go based on the conversations we had had for 3 months and based on the conversation we expected on February 3rd with your finance committee. That never happened. We never got re-engaged. We don't want to lose this community. We don't want to lose this service. Our employees are committed to this work. I personally welcome this community and doing all the community outreach I do with my team. Of course, your college wants your business. Who wouldn't want to serve North Bend? We've been here for 30 years. We want to be here for the next 10 years or the next 12 years if you'll level the playing field to give us that opportunity. We have trucks, it's true, but we would get some new trucks. We have some plans already in place. We're ready to roll. We have other communities we can deploy those in. What I'm most excited about for this community is electric vehicles. We are the leader in sustainability on a national level and on a local level. We have dedicated staff here that are ready to work with you and your community to bring electric vehicles and help you meet your climate action goals. We are doing innovative work in the industry with our Polymer Center down in Las Vegas. All of the recycling we pick up here for plastics are going to be sent down there, and water bottles are returned back into water bottles, not clothing and not trash decking. We know how to do this work. We do it at scale, and we do it here right at home, one neighborhood at a time. In King County, Republic Services cities have a greater recycling rate than any other provider in the industry. We're committed to this work. We've done it for years, and we're committed to doing it for years to come. We really appreciate the opportunity to work with your team again to incorporate anything you want in the next contract. We want to hear from you about the customer credits. We were willing and able and wanted to engage. We were never given that opportunity. Give us the opportunity, and we can close the deal and stay in the community without interruption for years to come. Please consider that.
Thank you. Anyone else here in chambers? Three, do we have anyone online? We have no one online. Thank you for waking me up and responding back. Again, I'll look to you. Did I have the right committee? Is it off on everything tonight?
Well, we brought the first go-round, and then things got all cattywampus, so I'm not exactly sure what the problem is.
I'm going to look to you anyway. How about that?
Okay. Motion to approve AB 23-038, authorizing the mayor to enter into and execute a 12-year comprehensive garbage recyclable and compostable collection services contract with Recology King County Incorporated for a period of April 1, 2024 through March 2036 in a form and content approved by the city attorney.
Thank you. Second.
Second,
Mr. Rosen. Mr. Vonbeck, after reading a four-page motion, can you speak to it, please?
I'm going to be voting no. $3 million is a lot over the course of the proposed contract, and that's a huge difference.
Mr. Rosen?
Sure. Yeah, I think you can't really have a discussion without talking about how massive the increase is going to be, regardless of which company we go with. There's just no way around it. This is going to, it's going to be difficult. I'm certainly not looking forward to hearing from some of my family members when they get the bill in the mail. That being said, it is the reality of King County and our garbage system that we have. There's no way around that. All companies are going to see these increases. All things being equal, I believe the rates are comparable between the two. But I think with Recology, we're going to be adding a comprehensive recycling program, which I think better aligns with our community's values. And most important to me, and everyone will have their own reason, is addressing the service. I think there was a huge miss on that last time, that storm. And there was an opportunity, yes, it was not in our contract, but there was an opportunity for goodwill. And I think Republic, unfortunately, did not step up and deal with our citizens in a way that I thought was equitable. I understand that they're willing to maybe do that in a contract negotiation, but there was an opportunity when we had that storm to just do the right thing.
Those are some of the major issues. There's lots of others. I'm sure there'll be some comments from the rest of the council members. I do have something I'd like to propose, but I'll wait for other council members to speak to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Council, Mr. Guy.
Yeah, I do have some concerns here. I have some concerns that we're not comparing apples to apples. I have some concerns that, yes, we have not talked about this through December. This is going to be a large increase to our residents. And I would like to propose that we, and then I would have to ask Mr. Rios, give a little period of time for our residents to see what this is and propose that we make this a first motion with reading. To at least advertise it to our residents so they understand. I think it's going to be a huge hit, and I'd like to see a comparison as apple to apples. So my biggest concern is making sure our residents have the ability to make some comments so that we have it, because it's the last time it came through was last year. This is the first time we brought it forward. It's the first time I think anybody's seen it come in, and I think it should be advertised and get some public comment and bring it forward to the next council meeting. Mark, would that affect his contract?
Yes. My concerns would be timing. So if we are going to truly compare apples to apples, it may take for public 4 weeks to get back to us, 5 weeks, 3 weeks. Then we bring that to committee, then we bring that to council. We're 2 months away. Recology needs to order equipment soon. Costs are going up. We're seeing an inflationary period like we haven't seen in 30 or 40 years, and every month or two of delay just adds costs. I'd caution maybe a couple weeks where the college might be able to hold prices in this contract, but they're not going to hold these for long.
Well, I'm not asking any more than to the next council meeting, and my biggest concern is process and allowing our
county. Yeah, I don't need a clarification, Scott, because I really heard kind of two things there. One, the notion of possibly making a friendly amendment to do this as a first reading and a second reading and the next. That to me would be different than asking the administration to go back and essentially rebid again to get the 12 to 12 or 10 to 10 or what have you. So I want to be sure I'm understanding those, that you're seeing those as
one of the different things, yes.
But your real ask is just to do a first reading, is that?
Absolutely.
And so, and so I heard it also as a question just to get a comment back. So I'm going to ask if you would, if it's okay with you to hold it as the actual formal motion until we go through some more comment, and then we can come back to that.
Sure. Thank you. Can I just ask a follow-up question real quick from Mr. Rigos? We spoke earlier today. If we don't go and try to get all new numbers, if we just want to wait for an additional 2 weeks for process and public input, and we don't require you to go out and get more information, how is that going to affect us? Is that something we're okay if we wait till April 4th and we just give the community a chance to give the input?
Yeah, Recology has assured me that for 2 weeks they can hold these prices.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
And that was my question too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Others? Okay. Mr. Wood.
Thank you. I know this has been a long process, and I would like to agree and echo some of Mr. Rosen's commentary, which was I believe what Recology offers and their business model, employee-owned, and a lot of things that they are bringing to the table is very progressive, contemporary, and quite frankly, on point with our brand. So they have me opening both my eyes when I read their paperwork. I reached out to half a dozen of their customers, different agencies, and talked with them, mayors, public directors, and so forth, and I heard nothing but raving feedback about how fantastic they are to work with, substantiating all the claims about public outreach, engagement, and really going the extra mile above and beyond what is dictated in the contract. So having that firsthand, I know it's a qualitative sample, but having that experience communicated to me meant a lot as far as that's concerned. Now with respect to the credit, I agree with that as well, and quite frankly, we spoke ad nauseum about the credit after it was happening. You were on the podium, a Republican representative was on the podium, and we talked about it quite a bit, and it was constantly met with, sorry, it hasn't been contracted. There were references to Sammamish and was able to get credit because it was in Sammamish's contract. And even with our 30-year partnership and relationship and a lot of these great things that were being said about the dynamic between our two agencies, the good faith, as Mr. Rubin said, failed to present itself when we were asking for it. And so it took getting to a negotiation, it took having a very viable competitor at the table to get Republic to come forward with, oh, wait, we can do it, we're here to help you. So I'm confused a little bit on the different dynamics here, but I shouldn't be, it's a business transaction. So at this point in time, I'm definitely interested in Recology. I would be open to a public format with respect to allowing ratepayers and citizens to come forward. Here are the differences because, as Mr. Rosen said, it's going to be a huge increase regardless. If we stay with Republic, if we go with Recology, no matter what, it's going to be an increase. And perhaps bringing people to the table, allowing them to see the decision that we're making, and understanding that we're really looking for a partnership with an agency that is aligned with our brand, aligned with our values, and really looks at the environment and the betterment of our community as first and foremost within their business model. So it might be a good thing to do that as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jocelyn.
Good evening, thank you. I'll be voting in support. I'm excited by this for a bunch of reasons. It seems to me that there's a party that we're engaging with who gets it, sees it more like I see the challenges that are coming before us as a planet, as a community, as a society, and that costs money to address. And this goes farther towards acting in the way that, yes, matches the city's brand, speaks to concerns and interests that my children express to me on a regular basis, concerns for the health of the planet going forward. I'm going to do everything I can that aligns with the city's interests and advocate things that I think also pay additional benefits from what I've heard from Jeff, and trusting and doing my homework, the process he's been engaged in, has been a negotiation. Folks have been able to speak to it and given opportunities to share their concerns and interests and past histories. What's before us tonight is an entering contract with Recology. The numbers before me, it's a best guess. I trust everybody's intention in this, well-meaning, but it's cheaper. $2.40 a month cheaper for a 32-gallon tank under the Recology contract that's being proposed than it is under Republic. But as has been pointed out, what we face is a doubling of cost, period, full stop, because this contract was a great deal 10 years ago. But what was $26 a month is now roughly $52. And regardless of which call or which decision is made by this council, that increase is going to be substantial and big, and we can nibble around the edges. But I'm willing to nibble around the edges to what in fact looks to me for a cheaper rate for many residents. And I believe, newer equipment and fresh eyes on this is going to come in, and there are opportunities to service level is elastic. People are going to respond to the service level that is elastic. Look at the numbers from the three different haulers that I put together, and North Bend is generating three times the waste as commensurate neighborhood communities on the east side, and I'm not sure why, but there's room for improvement there. The clock is ticking on this. If it goes to a second reading, fine. But this isn't, we aren't voting on whether to go with Recology or Republic. We're going to have to move forward with this contract tonight. It's been brought forward because of a lot of hard work, time, and effort. And I will be supporting it tonight. And I want to thank everybody who's committed so much time and energy to getting us to this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Golden.
Like Mr. Jocelyn, I support voting for Recology. I think they are the future of waste management. They're all about zero waste. They're about electric vehicles. It's about the climate. The money's not more. They're 100% employee owned, so any money they make is not going to the stock market. It's going directly back to their employees, which I imagine would help labor disputes. I could be wrong. And I think Recology, they are willing to speak with us and work with us. And also Republic, they keep saying they've been with us for 30 years, but when I researched it, they bought Allied Waste in 2008 for $6.3 billion, and this is per the Washington State Journal in an article I read. So they have not been our service provider for 30 years. They've been our service provider for 15 years after they bought out our last waste management contract.
Thank you. Ms. Miller?
Thank you for allowing me to add a few more comments. My council member's right next to me and right across from me, and you find people out there and our staff. Thank you for all the hard efforts that it's taken. And Jeff, great work, by the way. My one remaining concern, and I really appreciate what everybody's been saying, I align more with Recology now. I have a variety of reasons that most of you spoke to. My one last concern is to potentially go with a first reading right now so we can let this be heard to the public one more time at least and move it forward from there. I don't want to hold this back much longer or any longer, essentially, but I think it's worth a while to let our community know exactly what's coming their way as best we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rosen,
sure. Yeah, I did actually have something I wanted to propose. It would be revenue neutral, but it would help to reduce the cost of this contract. One of the things we have here is a city tax, I believe a 7.5% or administrative fee. Currently, and Mark, you'll back me up on numbers if I say anything wrong, please interrupt me. I believe currently our 7.5% rate brings in about $160,000 per year. If we stay at 7.5%, I believe that revenue stream will go up to about $330,000 or something like that.
It's in that ballpark.
Okay. So if we were to, as a city, commit to just keeping $160,000 per year as our revenue stream from this administrative fee, we could reduce the cost of this contract 2.5%, 3.5% maybe from where we are now by taking that 7.5% rate and dropping it down to maybe about 4%, I think, would bring us $160,000 a year.
Yes.
Okay. So there's something we can do. I think we were willing to go to 12 years to save $200,000. This also would save another $200,000 by reducing our administrative fee to 4%. And as I said, it would be revenue neutral. It will not cost the city any money. We'll still take in the same amount of money. But it will show that we are willing to do everything we can to try to control costs in the areas that we do have the ability to affect. So that is a proposal of mine. I'm not sure how to word it. Lisa, you'll help me at some point. But I would like to see that change from 7.5% down to 4%.
Now, as Mr. Gotthelf was suggesting a change, I was thinking, commenting to council, that the next council member to introduce the notion of a motion without a motion being pre-formed would get the wrath.
I said Lisa was going to help me. Lisa did help me.
With that said, I think I'm seeing a motion to my right of wanting to share another thought. Because I'm not hearing a motion yet. I'm hearing the notion being floated for discussion.
Yes, I'd like to discuss it and see how folks feel about that, and then we'll do a motion.
A couple of comments on it, but Mr. Dawson.
Well, right, we're legislating on the fly here, folks. 7.5% administrative fee, I'm sure that's in the budget and expended to some end. Richard?
Yes, sir.
Well, the 7.5% fee that's levied in this contract against waste hauling must support some existing administrative service in the city, am I not correct? And if you pull that money, you can't. It isn't exactly a neutral proposal.
I think Mr. Rigas may have more information on how this money is spent.
Yeah, so since our neighbor's default is 10%, our current contract is 7.5%, where we use that money that comes in is really towards pavement management dollars. Dump trucks, recyclable trucks are really hard on pavement, especially some of the gravel alleys that we have downtown. And so we use those funds for pavement overlays, crack seals, gravel overlays, potholes, etc. So we've been adding residents the past 10 years. So that amount of revenue has been increasing, but we've also been adding the length of roads. the amount of work and the amount of materials and the amount of just area that we obtain. So, and we did recently...
Mr. Rivas, is it possible that the cost of doing that work has gone up in this last year's?
That's also true, yeah.
Thank you. Did that set? Thank you. Mr. Godwin?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. This is not making a motion on the fly. This is discussing in open session something that's going to be important. So I take exception to the comment. This is making a motion on the fly. Though I do have a concern that I will address and ask Mr. Rosen is, even if you keep it at that level, we have experienced inflation. How do you expect to take consideration for inflation?
Inflation is built into this contract. I believe we have a CPI. So this contract will go up and adjust for inflation. Therefore, the 4% would go up with that. I will say to Mr. Rigos and to others that I don't believe pavement management should be on the backs of this contract. This is garbage. I understand there's an impact, but this is not the place to look for additional funds for our roads. I really think this is not the time and place to do it. That's just my opinion. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. So, and by any else, I mean on any part of this conversation, because I think we've got two potential motions here. I think I would, in indulgence, I would suggest that we start with the notion of the reduction in service fee. So, Mr. Rosen, do you have a motion that you want to make, or based on the conversation, you want to
start? Sure. Lisa, help me on the fly here. Just a motion to change the administrative fee from 7.5 to 4%.
Sounds good.
Okay, so the motion, and this is a motion sub to the main motion, is to reduce the administrative service fee from 7.5% to 4%. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion, second by Mr. Gotthold. I think you've explained it well. Anything to add?
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Mr. Gotthold, did you want to say any more on the motion?
Nothing to add.
All right. Anyone else want to speak any further on the motion? Okay. Then we'll take a vote on this motion. All in favor of the motion to reduce the administrative service fee from 7.5 to 4%, say aye.
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 Okay, heard 1, 2, 3. All those opposed?
Nay.
Aye.
Four. Motion fails. Thank you. Mr. Gotthelf, I believe your motion you still want to make, and I believe it is as simple as adding to the end of the current motion as a first reading.
You are correct to bring it back at the next council meeting, so we clearly define what I'm asking. I think that would be April 4th. Well, before we walk out of issue, I'm just making it clear because I know in the past we have had issues where we have it followed through, and this is the date of the motion exact.
I'll ask legal counsel to help
you with the motion. Point of information.
Yes.
So, Ms. Marshall, thank you. I appreciate the extending for the process for public comment. Just a quick question on the logistics of that, because we're talking about April 4th, we're talking about making an announcement to the public. So when we think about this process, do we have the right window of time to make that happen? This is question number one. And question number two, just out of curiosity, what sort of communication will we need to the public to get the word out?
You have a couple of options. The most formal one would be to hold a public hearing. And I'm not sure if we have time for a public hearing, so he's shaking her head know. And then the next suggestion would be to somehow issue either a press release or a communication through your communications manager, asking for input either through email, snail mail, come to the next meeting, what have you.
And yeah, I think I didn't even speak better than that, other than the legal aspects of it, it being confirmed that no, we don't have noticing time the next council meeting to advertise a public hearing. We can certainly put out a press release on it, but the number one way that we advertise, of course, just as tonight, is by publishing the agenda in the city council meeting. So that would be the guaranteed way that we would put it out. But of course, and I would be happy to make sure that we do a press release on it as well. It's been out there.
All right, and so given the nature of this, we don't have to worry about seeing it in the paper of record or anything like that, right? Yeah.
Provided we're not asking for a public hearing. Mr. Jossel.
If I'm just going to try and offer the amendment that I think is sought after, is it not as simple as simply adding as a first reading to the current agenda bill as a proposal?
That was my suggestion, but I did hear Mr. Godhoff was concerned about it coming back to be sure they came back by the next.
It's only in the past we've made comments, well, when is it going to come back? Here we can push it. So I wanted to make it clear I'm not. I've asked this body for this. Yeah. And said what I asked. I just wanted to make sure it was clear.
Yeah.
What I'm asking for this body to do. Okay.
So again, Ms. Marshall, if you want to string something together.
My suggestion would be to add to the end of the existing motion as a first reading with a second reading scheduled for April 4th, 2023.
Mr. Godhoff, is that your motion?
Yes.
I thought it might be.
Perfect.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Miller. I think probably fairly thoroughly discussed. Anything you need to add? Anyone else need to add anything? All right. Then the motion before you is to amend the main motion to add the phrase at the end of the current motion as a first reading with a second reading on April 4th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Yeah,
no. Vote? As you were saying? All right. Wow, this is fun. Okay, I heard two notes and one abstention. That means the motion carries. Four votes in the affirmative, with Ms. Cullen, Mr. Loudenbach voting no, Mr. Jocelyn abstaining. Okay. Now, the motion before you is to approve AB 23-038, authorizing the mayor to enter into and execute a 12-year comprehensive garbage, recyclables, and compostables collection services contract with Recology King County Inc. for the period of April 1st, 2024 through March 31st, 2036 in a form and content approved by the city attorney as a first reading with a second reading April 4th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. 6-1, Mr. Bonnenbach voting no. All right, that was fun. Gonna get back to the top of my agenda here. That was, thankfully, the last item on the main agenda. We will move to Mayor Council of Administrative Concerns and Initiatives. Throw the ball up in the air and it'll land on Mr. Godhelp.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just hope everybody's enjoyed their time with their family, as I know a lot of family members have come back for spring break during this holiday, so we had some good times. Some is staying out later, we'll get longer days. please spend time out there enjoying the beautiful weather, and please be safe and watch for our kids out in the street playing as we move closer into spring and into summer. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's know.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, thanks to our wonderful Citizen Academy graduates and our wonderful staff. I commend you all. What a great effort. I was able to be at a couple of the meetings, and I saw firsthand for myself how incredible you all are. So thank you again. Have a great night.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood.
I'll just jump in on that. Okay, well, that was great. The Citizen Academy seems like an awesome program. Talk with the team members and just hearing the bubbling of ideas, the enthusiasm, getting involved is fantastic. I do think it's a great, as Steve, who just left, said, gateway process into getting more involved with either the local politics or organizations, or however you want to characterize it. So it's an exciting thing. So well done, Mayor. Well done, the administration, for putting this forward. And congratulations to everybody for making it a success. And I look forward to seeing more of these academies going forward. And I love the fact that you give out diplomas. That's an awesome thing. So well done. Great program. And look forward to the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I am excited by the waste management contract moving forward. I think that's a great thing. You know, we had in unanimity, and I hope in 2 weeks we can come together. I'll apologize again if my use of lines of defense numbers. I'm trying to be mindful and not go there that many people somehow take offense with my use of lines of defense. That's certainly not my intent. I work very much for this council to focus on interests of this city and moving this city forward as a team and working towards common outcomes. I think that which unites us and what we strive for so far outweighs our differences, and I try to do that. And I just want those of you present to know that, and the public as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lautenberg?
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Rose?
Thank you to everyone who participated, obviously, in the Citizens Academy. I think it's been said by others, but I certainly want to echo that. Lisa, Bree, thank you very much. Bree, you look like the Wizard of Oz back there. I should put a curtain. You're controlling everything. But thank you, staff, for doing such a fantastic job. I appreciate my fellow council members' concern about public comment and process on this contract, and just making this a first reading. I think if we're going to make a mistake, let's make it on the side of too much public comment. So I do appreciate those efforts from my fellow council members tonight on that. That is all, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Cole.
Similar to everyone else, congratulations to the first graduates of the North Bend Citizens Academy. I commend you. It's a big deal. Thank you for coming during your busy schedules to learn how the city is run. I really believe it will help you to educate others in our community about the city of North Bend, and now you know who to call when you have a pothole on your street.
That's a good one. Well, geez, I guess I have to again jump on board with all of those comments. It was a great night to have our graduates with us, to have the reception prior to the council meeting. That was a great time to get a little interaction. I do know that we wore most all of them out. The attrition rate was pretty high.
Did you just grab it to get extra bonus?
I'm not sure that you encourage them to look at your service.
We get a graduate
with tonight, but this was a good meeting to get a good flavor for city council action, so that's great. A few other more mundane items here in that regard. The yard waste recycling program starts up this Saturday, March 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon at Public Works. The program is open to select on select Saturdays through October and is available to all who reside in 98045 Simcoe areas. To find out more about the program, including a list of days and events, is open and acceptable materials, please visit the news section of the city website. I'll mention that tomorrow morning, Meet Up with the Mayor series is returning.
Community members are invited to meet with me tomorrow morning, March 22nd, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the North Bend Bakery to discuss city-related topics that are important to you. I'm good that I'm reading this, and I know what I'm doing tomorrow morning. Thank you, Bree. The city is seeking residents to serve on the Human Services Task Force. This task force members will advise the mayor on a variety of matters related to the city's Human Services Grant Funding Program. If you're interested in serving on this task force, please visit the news section of the city website to find out about the application process. That is a new thing just beginning. Council, I wanted to mention that an item that was changed recently, in that the topic for next week's work study session has been changed. Originally, we had planned to talk about the housing action plan. That is not ready to come forward, so that topic is being delayed. And that gave us an opportunity, and needed opportunity, to bring another topic to you for opening discussions, and that is on the Meadowbrook Farm new ILA. I mentioned to you several times that the 25-year agreement in the current management process expires in May. We've been working hard on coming up with a new management plan, and we want to walk you through what that looks like. I know that Councilmember Miller and Colin in particular have been involved in this and know a lot about it. We want to make sure everybody understands what we're proposing, and that you're all informed to give that feedback. And so that session will be led a great deal by Ms. Colin as well as Mike McCarty, and then I will, of course, give some overview and thoughts into it as well. I also want to do a shout-out to local business Rainier Asphalt Concrete for their donation of time, equipment, and materials to improve vulnerable pathways in North Bend. They recently finished replacing approximately 2,000 feet of damaged asphalt pathways in E.J. Roberts Park. And last fall, they did an expanded portion of the Tanner Trail, creating that paved trail connection to the new roundabout located at 436 and North Bend Way. Great donation by them, and we really appreciate it, and obviously that helps us with our expenditures out of the general fund. With that, at this time, we are going to move to executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.3110(1)(i), property acquisition, and pursuant to RCW 42.30.10(1)(b), and collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42.30.144. Even with those three topics, we expect to be about 45 minutes. There will be no action following the executive session, and so with that, we will end the recording. Call